Distinctive. Good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. It is. It's awesome. Okay. Lord's got me into John 15:4-5, just a short one. So I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Amen. That's a big word, nothing. Always remember that. Take that to heart, because more of us I know are still, until we get used to doing on things with him, we still kind of go to self, don't we, a little bit. So that happens, but we got to get used to it. He is the way, the truth, the life. So anybody, bow their head, join me in prayer this morning. Lord, we're in awe of your presence, Father God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you also for Matt and Kathy, for all being here, as we prayed earlier. Father, we thank you for them. They're here, they're safe in the house of God this morning. So safe haven for all of us this morning. Help us be open to learning everything we need to be about the Father's business today. So Father God, as we humble ourselves before a humble God, help us be ready to be shaped and formed into the men and women of God we're supposed to be in you. These are musts. We take that seriously. We have to be a diligent out there. We have to. I sense in my spirit the evil isn't getting any, they're going up another level, I think. I said that last week, too. The thing is, so what? We won the war. But God says, pay attention with me, the individual battles. Because that you need to call on him for that each and every day. Get used to that type of thing. We need to. Might have said it, we might be already doing it, but sometimes we don't. And that's a time that we're vulnerable. And we don't want to be vulnerable to man. We know we have victory. He that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. And we got to understand that, too. That anyway, the things, too. I bind the strongholds right now in the name of Jesus. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. What's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Father, I come against the cancer. I come to all these infirmities. I come in, I bind them right now in the name of Jesus. Bind from each one. Heart attacks, COVID, all those other things are trying to sneak in. I bind it right now in Jesus' name. You're above all those names. Every knee shall bow, tongue confesses Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to get that in our spirit. Go forward out there in strength, in him. We do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. Still sits the right hand of the Father. It's all about you, Father, beginning and the end. Author and finisher of our faith. You still sit right hand of the Father, intervening for each and every one of us. Anoint Rob's mind and heart. The word goes through him like rivers of living water this morning. Help us receive what we need to receive. Then we get those highways and byways starting today throughout the whole week. It's a week before we come back, we get nourished and fed. But I hope and pray as a brother in the Lord, and as God touch your people to do that every single day. It says asking you to receive. Get prepared in the word before we go out of our homes into those mission fields that we were ready and not so we're vulnerable and we fall. Yes, okay, we do. We're not condemning. We're just, thing is, Lord, just trying to get it. God is love. He cares about each and every one of us and right where we're at. There's nothing too difficult for him. So the thing is, help us recall that each and every moment. Do the best we can unto him, and he'll do the rest. I know he says that, and he loves us right where we're at. So help us always remember that people online, too, that you're included. You're just like every one of us. You're still in the body of Christ. Come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Today is that day. It's a day of salvation. So many salvations in Jesus' name would occur today in your name. And we ask it in your name again. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Children, you're dismissed for Children's Church. Before I begin, I just want to give a quick testimony. Last week, several of us went out to evangelize in the town center here. And I don't really have words for it exactly, but it was, God moved. It was really powerful. All we did was set up a little Blackstone griddle and yell free hot dogs across the street to people that were passing by, and that was all it took. And the Lord brought 12 people to make a profession of salvation last Sunday. One of them is sitting here today, our brother Chris here, and it was such a blessing to be able to serve the Lord in that way. And I want to thank those who came out with us, and, you know, many just were comfortable watching and giving testimony. But I would encourage you all to join us on the 31st in doing the same thing, in sharing our faith and the hope that is in us. And then in September, again, and October, and every month thereafter, we're going to go out and we're going to hit these streets, and we are going to tell the people outside of these walls of the hope that is in us. And God is going to continue to move. I have faith in that. But I just want to, it was a really powerful, powerful day. And I want to give God all the glory for that. Last week, I started in Philemon, and we went through verses 1 through 8, and we're going to continue from there. And we looked at Paul's perspective, both in his affliction, being under house arrest, he refers to himself as a prisoner of Christ, and we looked at how he views Philemon as a brother in Christ, saying that he was thankful for him and his ministry, and calling of Philemon a refresher of the saints. And lastly, he called him a brother. This week, as we move into verse 8, we're looking at the reason for Paul's letter, and he, on behalf of a fellow brother in Christ, a call to reconciliation and an amazing example of the restorative power of Christ Jesus. I'm going to read verses 8 through 25, and then we'll go from there, verse by verse. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you from my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who was once unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen. That first word in verse 8, therefore, it's referencing what I just said before we started reading. It's Paul's perspective on Philemon. Therefore, in light of this, in light of your love and faith, knowing, knowing the love and faith you have toward the Lord Jesus, every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus, knowing of those things. Should I get another microphone? Is this cutting out?
Yeah. Check, check. Good. Better. And with the viewpoint of the refreshing heart that Philemon has for the saints, because Paul knows these things, he's confident in making the request to Philemon for Onesimus. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, Paul did not say he had no right to command Philemon. He was an elder and an apostle, and he could have exercised the influence and the authority of his position in the church. Or also, as a fellow brother in Christ, he could have appealed to what would be obedient besides. As outlined in Ephesians 21, we submit one to another out of reverence for Christ, out of fear of God. Yet for love's sake, I appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. So again, Paul could command this of Philemon, but because of his perspective, because he knows who Philemon is, and because of his relationship with him, he chooses to make an appeal out of love. Paul is counting Philemon as an equal here, and he's taking into account his maturity, both as a Christian and as an older man. He says, as one as I am, as aged. You know, a younger man tends to have a little bit of a more fiery temperament, I think. We make more hasty decisions in our youth. But Paul knows him and knows that he's likely to hear him and not react to what he's saying. And he's pointing out his own weaker position. He's essentially saying here, I'm in a position of command. I could be bold in it, but I appeal to you out of love and out of my weaker position in my older age and as a prisoner. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13 highlights this mix of affection and respect that he exemplifies throughout his epistles, saying that we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. It is in this perspective that we hear Paul make his plea for Onesimus. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who I have begotten while in my chains. The first mention we hear of Onesimus, Paul refers to him as his son, and I don't believe he does it lightly. When Paul leads someone to Christ through his epistles, when we see it, he takes great care and concern with their discipleship, and so as it should be with us. We see this in his letters to Timothy and Titus, and he makes it very, very clear again when referring here to Onesimus. Eleven, who was once unprofitable to you, but is now profitable to you and to me. Onesimus is a Greek name derived from Onesimos, which means useful, profitable, or beneficial. Paul used a play on words here to highlight Onesimus now living up to his name through the redemption of Christ. Onesimus was a runaway slave, estranged from Philemon, and until now, probably living in fear, which makes that song, No Longer Slaves, very fitting for this message, I think. No longer a slave to fear. Slave owners had the right to kill runaways, and they were usually indentured servants working to pay off a debt. So if you think of slavery in Jerusalem or in that area of the world, a lot of the time they were indentured servitude. They owed a debt. And so to say he was once unprofitable means he wasn't paying up his debt. He wasn't fulfilling it. I want to think back to last week briefly when we looked at that map. Onesimus was once unprofitable, in other words, useless or lukewarm. The lukewarm water was not useful. And now he's in a place of use, hot or cold, and in relationship and growth in the ministry of Paul in the church. I can think of times in my life when I've been unprofitable, and I am grateful to God for his mercy and his perseverance in dealing with me, and that he does respond to a repentant heart. How have we been unprofitable in our lives? What forgiveness have we needed or needed to extend to others? Because don't forget, this is two ways here. Philemon is hurt by Onesimus, and Onesimus is living in fear of Philemon and retribution. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart. Again, Paul shows how much Onesimus means to him while at the same time appealing to Philemon from a place of love. Knowing that Philemon will not want to hurt Paul by rejecting Onesimus, in fact, Paul is showing that he places a great deal of faith in Philemon, underpinning the expression of his character that he shared in verses 4 through 7. Paul then goes on to say, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Paul is now characterizing Philemon and Onesimus as equals in ministry, expressing that Onesimus is a fitting substitute in ministry in place of Philemon, suggesting that he is now also refreshing to Paul and holds himself a great deal of love for his fellow saints in the Lord Jesus. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed may not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Paul did not want begrudging compliance, but made an appeal out of love for willful obedience. Paul wished for what God wishes for, a free turning of our will to that which is right and befitting of us as disciples of Jesus Christ and children of God. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose. In Genesis 5:45, we hear Joseph speak of his circumstances to his brothers. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. God sent me before you to preserve life. The circumstances surrounding Joseph's presence in Egypt were difficult, to say the least. And what was initially so unpromising turned out to be a path that led to great restoration and prosperity and displayed the glory of God in that situation. I know that in my own life there have been times where I have strayed or turned away from God, times where I have been unprofitable. But looking back, I can see more and more how God used those circumstances to bring me back to him and lead me to a place where I could be more useful to him and to others than I ever could be before. I believe Paul has the same perspective here, and as Kathy likes to say, follow me around for a while, and you'll see a God. There's a God that orders my steps. Truly. Really, really. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave. So, departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul does not speak outrightly against slavery. He does not, nor does he condone it. Rather, he appeals to the values that Christ has instilled and to the very nature of the Word of God to change the relationship between master and servant. Paul exhorts and encourages Philemon to look at Onesimus as he should, as a new creation. No longer a slave, no longer unprofitable, but to take on Paul's perspective, Christ's perspective, and view him now as a brother, both in the flesh and in the Lord. I've got a buddy who I used to work with in the prisons, and we had a good working relationship. We got along well. And towards the end of my career in the Department of Corrections, he did something for me that really touched me, meant a great deal to me. And it was very, very shortly after that, within days, I think, that I left the job. And we lost touch. He was still working there. I got a new career, new job. I was completely on an opposite schedule. But I would pray for him frequently. And a few months ago, we were at Iron Sharpens Iron, and he walked right past me. Now, he was not a Christian when I knew him. And I wasn't walking with the Lord. I'm ashamed to say now, he probably didn't know I was a Christian unless I said something here or there in conversation. But he walked right by me, and I yelled his name, and he didn't hear me. So I texted him. I still had his number. And I was going into the bathroom, and I came out, and I see him standing by the door looking at his phone and looking up. And we both just embraced each other. I mean, it was amazing. I started crying. And my buddy Ryan was now walking with me on this journey, on this path that God has set before us. And I still can't even bring it to words, but it's like, A, no time had passed. I mean, we guys have a tendency to do that. We can pick up where we left off. But there's this new element to our brotherhood and to our relationship, and we, you know, share scripture with each other and encourage each other, and you know, I'm honestly at a loss for words for what God did, but it reminded me of this. How much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Ryan wasn't an estranged slave. He was no enemy of mine by any means, but we had really not talked in years. And the way that God restored this relationship was just absolutely beautiful. And he has a way of doing it with people that have been long lost to us. And I do believe that prodigals are coming home. I really do. There are quite a few I know in this body, and I believe they're coming home. I believe the Lord is drawing them back. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. In my Bible, that's actually in italics. It's emphasized. As you would me. Paul both affirms his relationship with Philemon and restates the new relationship he desires for him to have with Onesimus. We are all heirs of grace and equals in Christ. Our relationships in the church should be true partnerships. Do we tolerate each other, or do we open our hearts to welcome each other and to treat each other with the love and respect that we should have for each other as equals in the Lord? No matter where you are in your walk, we're all clothed with the same righteousness. And I think that keeping that perspective and viewing others in that way, especially in this body, is of the utmost importance. Going even further, Paul demonstrates how important they both are to him and how far he is willing to go to bring reconciliation to them by offering his own estate to pay for any debt owed to Philemon by Onesimus should it get in the way of establishing that relationship. And what a beautiful and amazing example and parallel it is to the gospel. Think about it for just a second as we read this. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention that you owe me even your own self besides. Paul says that he is writing with his own hand. Last week I mentioned how Paul would often dictate his letters. In this case, he was dictating to Timothy. But now, who, by the way, is also mentioned as his son. He refers to Timothy as his son, just as he does with Onesimus. But now he takes over to write this part out personally. This is Paul writing with my own hand, I will repay you. That is a commitment to Onesimus and to Philemon. Whatever the debt, however great, Paul is willing to take it on in order that they should be reconciled. This is exactly what Christ did for us on the cross. We've incurred a debt, and he paid it willingly in order that we might be reconciled to the Father. Jesus is the way, and the Father's the destination. And yet Christ made us. We were once unprofitable, and yet Christ made us profitable. Paul then points out that it was through him that Philemon came to faith in the first place, and I don't believe that Paul is saying, owe here, in the context that there is a debt to be paid back, not to mention you owe me even your own self besides, but rather he's appealing to the debt of gratitude that Philemon would have towards Paul as his spiritual father. I also find it likely that given the love that Paul shows for each of the people he interacts with in this way, he probably spent a great deal of time discipling and nurturing Philemon early on in a similar fashion. Verses 20 and 21, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Paul gives a little compliment sandwich here as he begins to end his letter. reminding Philemon of the words he first spoke toward him, and in the beginning, but also beseeching him to live up to them. He tells Philemon that his love of the saints and for the Lord brings him great joy, and he asks for Philemon to do this and bring him further joy. As he says that Philemon refreshes the hearts of the saints, he asks for his own refreshment in this. But just after, in verse 21, says, "Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say." Paul is again displaying the same trust and confidence in Philemon that he expressed in verse 12, entrusting him with his own heart in more than one way. Yes, he calls Onesimus his own heart, but in placing this type of trust and faith in Philemon, while also appealing to him from the weaker position that he's in, he is entrusting Philemon himself in a deep and meaningful way. Similarly, Pastor Matthew and the elders have entrusted me over the last several weeks to stand in Matthew's place in many ways in this ministry. And I'm very grateful to have them back here today, Matthew and Kathy. To see their faces after a couple months is a great blessing, and you were very missed. Not only am I humbled and grateful for the opportunity to serve the church family that I love in this way, but I know that by entrusting me with this, he has entrusted a great part of his own heart to me, and it means a great deal to me to be entrusted in that way. And I hope that I have served you all and him faithfully, and I will continue to strive to do so. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Paul was released from prison shortly after writing this epistle, and although it's unclear if he ever returned to Colossae, I would really like to think that there was a happy reunion for the three of them in there somewhere in the few years between his imprisonment and his eventual martyrdom. But they are all united together now in the glory of our Father, no matter what. Paul asked for Philemon to prepare a room for him because he trusted that he would be granted to them. Christ said that he has gone to prepare a place for us, and we will be granted to him if that is where we have placed our trust. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. There's a study note here in my Bible that I wanted to share that I really liked. It just recaps everything very nicely. And that is, Paul urged Philemon to be reconciled to his slave, receiving him as a brother and a fellow member of God's family. Reconciliation means reestablishing the relationship. Christ has reconciled us to God and to others. Many barriers come between people: race, social status, sex, personality differences. But Christ can break down these barriers. Jesus changed Onesimus' relationship to Philemon from slave to brother. And Christ can transform our most hopeless relationships into deep and loving friendships. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that this word would enter our hearts, Lord. And Father, that you have delivered something to each of us through this. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I thank you for your power of restoration and reconciliation, Lord. I thank you for the work that you have done on the cross and that you have exemplified here in this little book. Lord, we praise you. I thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you all.